This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, April 20th, 2018. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, teachers in the United States strike for decent pay and quality education. Trade unionists have been attending the Commonwealth Heads of Government Conference in London. The Labour Start report about union events around the world and singing, "We Belong to the Union." This is Radio Labour. In the United States, teachers in some of the most poverty-ridden states are standing up for themselves and the children they work for by going on strike against abysmally low wages and cuts to education. Strikes have been conducted in Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Kentucky. Teachers in Arizona have put the state on notice that they too will strike if their demands are not met. These actions are taking place in states that voted for Donald Trump and are controlled by rabidly right-wing Republican legislatures. I talked to David Edwards about the teacher actions in the United States. Mr. Edwards is the newly elected General Secretary of Education International. EI is the global union for teachers and other education workers. It has some 32 million members in 173 countries, including the United States. Mr. Edwards, who is from the state of Pennsylvania, started his career as a public high school teacher. Mr. Edwards, I hesitate to call it an uprising.
I like uprising.
But it does seem like something quite consequential is happening. Why are these teachers in the United States going on strike? What's happening?
I think that in what they call right to work, but we call sort of right to work for less states, these are states in the United States where labor rights are not respected, and conservative governments try to use austerity to squeeze as much as they can out of workers. And they assume that if they can just take away the right to form unions, somehow they'll take away people's desire for justice and fairness in terms of their employment conditions and their work, and that they've made a wrong wager, and that the demonization of teachers, particularly in those states in the South and in the Southwest, where they've seen historically low wages and stagnant wages, and at the same time taxes are being cut for corporations, and we are seeing teachers knowing that they have to teach students, you know, in some places for 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week. Teachers are having to work extra jobs. They don't have the right materials. They have books that are falling apart. They've reached a tipping point. They've reached a breaking point where it's no longer even a left-right sort of progressive conservative. It's a human issue where we've reached this breaking point that's hurting kids and their colleagues, and they're saying enough. And even if it's amazing, because you can say you don't have the right to strike, but they're basically saying they're calling BS on that, and they're taking to the streets. They're organizing. I think it's fabulous the ways in which our affiliates in Education International's affiliates in the AFT and the NEA are giving support and working with those leaders, and the way in which, you know, they're mobilizing. I was really heartened to see in West Virginia, a very, very economically distressed state in the U.S., where they knew that by going out on strike that many children wouldn't be getting a school lunch, because they were dependent, because poverty is so high in West Virginia, that school lunch is the only meal they get during the day. And what those teachers did was they spent the day before preparing lunches and they delivered it to their students. You know, no one could look at that and say, these are these, you know, mafia union bosses that don't care anything about their students. The community, the public opinion is very much on the side of teachers, whether that's in Oklahoma or Arizona or West Virginia or Kentucky. And it feels like a tide is shifting in the United States around compensation, around how we value teachers. And it's on the evening news, things that I never thought, you know, a year ago we were trying to foment and talk about in many other parts of the world. It's really sort of taken hold in the United States. And I think it's really exciting.
An extended version of my interview with Mr. Edwards is available on the Radio Labour website at www.radiolabour.net. The leaders of Commonwealth countries have been meeting in London this week, April 16th to 20th. The British Trades Union Congress, the TUC, invited a number of unionists to participate in the conference. Seemarie Ainsborough reports.
The Commonwealth is an intergovernmental organization of 53 countries, which were part of the British Empire. It meets every 2 years. Trade unionists were amongst the 5,000 delegates attending the conference. One of those unionists was Tony Moore, the General Secretary of the Barbados Workers' Union. Ms. Moore expressed her concerns about how climate change is affecting her country, a small island in the Caribbean.
Certainly, building the resilience of small and vulnerable states to deal with the effects of climate change is a priority for Barbados and our neighboring countries, because it has to be a priority for our countries. Barbados and other countries in the region are very susceptible because what we have been experiencing over time is increases in the sea level, a rising sea level. Of course, we are exposed to increases in storm surge levels, and with climate change, we have also been experiencing changes in our rainfall patterns. As it relates to what can trade unions do, it is what a number of trade unions have been doing, and certainly our own trade union. We have been focusing on worker education, using this as part of our curriculum for workers, because each citizen has to be able to see the negative impacts as they are, because it is so easy for people to become preoccupied with the fact that the trade union should be about salary increases and should be about conditions at work. But the trade union movement has to be concerned with improving the general quality of life for people.
Another participant at the Commonwealth meeting of heads of states was Joel Odigi. Mr. Odigi is the coordinator of human and trade union rights for ITUC Africa. The ITUC is the global body which represents national labor centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress. Mr. Odigi was asked about violations of human rights and the countries ITUC Africa focuses on.
We focus on a number of countries because we're beginning to see where gains workers and trade unions have made over the past 2-3 decades. Suffering a vicious attack with government, big businesses posing obstacles and threatening to reverse these gains. In countries like Zimbabwe, where we're still focusing on, even despite the change of regime, nothing has changed. So Zimbabwe still remains on our focus as number one. There is Swaziland, where the king marks culture as a way of driving governance that is to the detriment of the people, workers, women, their communities, to the exclusive preserve of the ruling families and very privileged few. We're focusing on the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where the situation there is still is near fatality. But for us as African trade unions, we do not have the luxury of giving up, of putting our hands up in the air and say there is no hope. So with the DRC, there are work to be done with respect to the rights of community people in the mines, the right of workers, and civil servants are not being paid for over 50 months.
This is Seemarie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Here is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder with his report about union events around the world.
Here's a small sample of the average of 270 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top story section included links to coverage of the struggle for worker-controlled unions in Belarus, the release from prison of an Iranian union leader, the wage deal won by millions of German public sector workers after weeks of rotating strikes, and of course the news that 16,000 nurses were sacked by the government of Zimbabwe for exercising their right to strike. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Nigerian oil workers locked out their managers and occupied their workplace over unspecified management actions. Meat packers settled their wage strike at a slaughterhouse in Estonia. The workers had been on a picket line since early February. Peruvian brewery workers fought back against attacks on union rights with a two-day strike last week. Dockers in New Zealand won substantial wage increases at the end of their strike. Public transport workers across South Africa parked their buses on Tuesday. Another long-running strike ended last Friday when academic staff at over 60 universities in the United Kingdom ratified a pension agreement, while a short strike by public transport workers in England to protest discipline imposed on one of their co-workers ended in just a few hours. A two-day walkout by French security guards at the Eiffel Tower ended last week. The strike started when three workers were sacked for signing a petition demanding improved working conditions. And Indian nurses continued their strike into its 7th month as they maintained their demand for wage parity with other workers. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the working conditions for the women who produce video games in South Korea, the need to continue the work done to improve working conditions in the Bangladeshi garment industry, and the challenges faced by women workers organizing in Latin America. Our health and safety newswire that we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the safety walkouts by Australian prison guards and Barbadian court workers, and the call for 30 days of mourning by unions after 8 workers were killed in a mine explosion in Bolivia. If Labor Start had a WTF news section, appearing as a top story this week would be the attempt by the government of Sri Lanka to change the date of May Day from the 1st of May to the 7th of the month. Currently, Labor Start is running 4 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Tim O'Brien with the Australian Union song, We Belong to the Union.
You can bruise my pride and bust my face, scatter my rights all over the place, and take the bread from off my plate, but you can't break me. Lock me out, chain the gates, put black shirts in with dogs and mace. I'll hold the line, won't step away, 'cause you can't break me. I belong, you belong, we belong to the union. Don't count me out when I'm on the floor. We'll win again, we've won before. The streets will ring with a mighty roar, 'cause you can't break me. Stocks rise up on workers' backs, profits soar while you hand out the sack. Boardroom bullies bloated and fat, but you can't break me. Australia's sold to mates offshore, backroom deals and shonky law. This day has come, we say no more, you can't break me. I belong, you belong, we belong to the union. I belong, you belong, we belong to the union. Turn away if you dare us to fight. I swear I'll never lay down and die. I'm in the union, mate, got a right to belong. We'll be back, millions strong, women and men united as one, 'cause you can't break me. There's a warning here to the men in grey, the piper's come, it's time to pay. We're taking back what you stole away, 'cause you can't break me. I belong, you belong, we belong to the union. I belong, you belong, we belong to the union.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.